have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, please, Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 will be our beginning text. We'll stay in the book of Genesis the whole time. I'll turn you to a couple of different chapters and passages as we make our way through. I put in the bulletin our beginning text. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew in the front of you. You could look at that, or you can read a little bit from the bulletin. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 18, Genesis 37, 18. And when they saw him afar off, before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." I asked the Lord what he would have me to preach on the last Sunday of the year, and I know 100% that God gave me the message for this morning. I'm excited to preach it to you. I want to preach it to you from the vantage point of being a blessing to you. I don't want you to think at all that I'm heavy-handed or scolded or making light of where you are today or where I am today. But I do believe that God's Word has power and the ability to be applied to our heart and to help us this morning. I want to preach you a message today entitled, "What Do You Do When Your Dreams Don't Come True?" What do you do when your dreams don't come true? It's the last Sunday of the year, and I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the new year. I enjoy Christmas, but I also enjoy New Year's. Something about the beginning of a new year. And I want to preach a message today to help prepare you for the transition of the new year. I wanted to help to appreciate what you've gone through in 2015. And I want to keep you from a mindset. And here's the mindset I want to keep you from today. Most of the time, when our dreams don't come true, we have the tendency to think that God didn't come through. When your dreams don't come true, you have the tendency to think that God didn't come through. And I got news for you. God never has, nor will God ever fail anyone. Amen? And so I want this message to lift you today. And I want it to put your eyes and your focus squarely where it needs to be upon our precious Savior. Our opening text picks up in the middle of a family saga, a family soap opera. Pastor, I didn't know you were preaching about our Christmas. That's what we had at our Christmas. I hope you didn't have that. It's a family saga. Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 50 deal with the life of one of the most important men in the history of the world. One of the most important men in the Word of God. Yea, one of the most important men in your life. His name is Joseph. Joseph was born to a man named Jacob. Joseph was one of 12 children. I know we have some people in our church that have had 12 children. God bless you. Praise God you got that blessing. And we didn't. Amen. And they were not all born to Jacob by one woman. There were three women. He had three wives. The first five and the second five, the first ten, and we divide them up into two groups of five as they were for their wives, they kind of bonded together. The last two were daddy's favorites. And Joseph, being the firstborn of Jacob's, I guess, favorite wife, you could say, he was his favorite. And it was hard to hide favorites. By the way, parents, be careful about favorites. Love your children equally as best you can. Kids notice when there's favoritism in the family. Favoritism from a parent will breed hatred in your family. I'll say that again. I'm going to prove it to you three times in the Word of God. Favoritism in your family will breed hatred in your family. And so Joseph was loved by his dad and favored more than the others. And there was always this animosity and this developing hatred that took place in this family. So much that the brothers wanted to kill him. On top of that, God does something to Joseph that even opens up and enlightens that hatred even more. God blesses Joseph with what I'll call a dream, a couple of dreams. He blesses Joseph with a truth. Joseph, being a young man that receives these dreams, tells his dad and tells his brothers, and even that begins to boil up a hatred within them. And so these brothers have a plan. And their plan is they're going to destroy Joseph's dream. And they're going to do the best that they can to keep this dream from becoming a reality. And so I want to take this opportunity and I want to take this event in the life of Joseph and I want to tell you about his dream. I want to tell you what happens in the course of his life over the direction of that dream. I'll go ahead and give you the end of the story. Joseph's dream does come true. Well, Pastor, if Joseph's dream came true, why would you preach a message entitled When Your Dreams Don't Come True? Well, I think you'll understand when you look over Joseph's life that he had moments in his life when he could have doubted whether or not his dream was ever going to come true. And because his dream wasn't coming true according to his mind, he would have had the opportunity to do some things that would have been wrong. And truth be told, Joseph had to fight the same battle in his mind that God's people have to fight. And that thought was, God, you let me down. You let me down. God, you didn't come through. And here we are transitioning in 2015 to 2016, and that might be you here today. Your dream didn't come true in 2015. Pastor, I should have gotten that promotion. Pastor, I should have been married. We should have had children. Pastor, we should have had this house. Pastor, we should have had this plan. Pastor, at the beginning of 2015, I had such hope, and now I come to the end of 2015, and I find myself in a place where I'm no better off than where I started. And I thought my life would be different. I thought God loved me. I thought God had given me a direction. I thought God told me what He was going to do, but it hasn't come true. Okay. So then this message is for you. Amen? Pick up verse number 1. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being how old, class? 17 years old. This is vitally important into this message. You need to know that this happened when he was 17 years old. He was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel, that was the name for Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. And they could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf, or fell down and made a humility or a worship position to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream, and it was told it was his brethren, and said, Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. Now watch this. His father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? shall I, the sun, your mother, the moon, and thy brethren indeed come down to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. All right, look this way. Let me make sure you understand the setting. 17-year-old boy, God gives him a dream. God, back in the Old Testament days, would use dreams to speak to people. Today, God has spoken to us through his word. But in the word of God, many times, God would use a dream to give his direction, to give his plan, to give his word to somebody. Here's a 17-year-old boy, and God gives him a dream. And the dream is, we're in the field, and we're binding these sheaves, and all of a sudden, my sheaf stood up, straight and tall. And your sheaves that you were went over, and they began to do obeisance to my sheaf. They hated him. He said, I had another dream. He said, I dreamed that the sun and the moon and the stars, and they all made obeisance to me. The brothers thought, you arrogant fool. His dad said, it's quite a dream, boy, but you're mistaken. Do you really think that me, your mother, and your brethren are going to fall down and worship you? Now you need to find chapter 42, verse number 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and did what, class? Bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth, just like the dream said. Now, a couple things you need to understand. When Joseph received the dream, he was how old, class? 17. Look, if you would, please, at chapter 41, verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. So let's test your mathematics. He was 17 when he got the dream. Later in his life at 30, he's standing before Pharaoh. 7 years of plenteous of harvest had happened. So 30 plus 7 is what? 37. Find, if you would, please, in chapter number 45. Find, if you would, verse number 6. For these, how many years? 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. 17, he receives a dream. 30, he stands before Pharaoh. 7 years of plenteous plus 2 years of famine. So 30 plus 7 plus 2 gives us how many years? 39 years. 22, he got the dream. 17, he got the dream. 39 years, the dream becomes a reality. When I subtract 17 from 39, I figure that it took Joseph's dream 22 years to come to fruition. 22 years. 22 years. Well, Pastor, at least he got his dream. Yeah. Okay. But I'm going to take you back to Joseph's life. And I'm going to show you that Joseph's life was anything but a dream. And when you think about your life and you compare your life to Joseph's life, you're going to find that Joseph suffered tremendously. And at the end of Joseph's life, all the way through to chapter 50, Joseph is able to communicate to us some things today that we need to understand. Because I have a feeling there's people in the room today, and your dream didn't come true. And so because your dream didn't come true, You're vulnerable to the thought, well, God didn't come through. And in that time period of our life when we're waiting upon the Lord, Pastor, I thought I knew God's plan. I thought this is what God was going to do. I thought this was going to be the year. I thought God was going to unfold this and unfold this and unfold this. And the year went just like this. And here I am. I'm getting ready. And to be honest, I'm a little bit upset. I'm a little bit I'm a little bit angry. I'm a little bit bothered by that. My dream didn't come true. Okay. Well, there's some things you need to understand and that Joseph will teach you today that I think will bless you. First thing you need to understand is in chapter 45, verse number 5. Find, if you would, please, Genesis 45, verse number 5. In the middle of this passage, Joseph is here and he's revealing himself to his brothers. This was after they had sold him into slavery. This is after they thought they had destroyed him. Now he's confronting them. And look at verse number 5. He says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did what, class? Send me." Now, it's important that you understand every word in this verse. Joseph is telling these brothers, you were angry with me. You hated me. Later, he'll use the word evil. And he says that you sold me hither. For God did send me to do what? It's at the end of the verse. To preserve life. So here's what Joseph says. Joseph says, I was 17 years old and I had a dream that God was going to do in my life. And he said, I expressed that dream to you guys and you envied me and you hated me. And in your hatred, you sold me. And if you don't know the story of Joseph, they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who then sold him to Potiphar, who then, while he was in Potiphar's house, Joseph was falsely accused of a rape that he did not commit. And Joseph was sent and put into prison. He was in prison for 2 years. Joseph faced tremendous anguish. He knows what it was to be betrayed. He knows what it was to be sold. He knows what it was to be falsely accused. And he knows what it was to be put into prison. And at 17 years of age, his dream was before him. And God was going to use him. And he was thrilled about that. 22 years later, that dream comes to a fruition. But he had 22 years of anything but a dream. And on the backside of this, Joseph says, I learned something about God. And here's what he said I learned. I learned that God had a plan for my life. And by the way, God has a plan for your life today. Pastor, God doesn't even know I exist. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God created you. And God has a perfect plan for your life. Now, the one thing you need to understand is God's plan does not work according to our timetable. Pastor, this should have been my year. No, God has a plan for your life. And God is working in your life His plan. And if you will allow Him and trust Him with His plan, you will understand that God has a purpose in the plan that He has for your life. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. He says of chapter 45, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." You see, Joseph came to the understanding that his life was not all about him. By the way, Christian, your life's not all about you. It's not about you. See, once I became saved, once the Lord Jesus came into my heart, He purchased me. My life belongs to Him. He owns my life. He can do whatever He wants to do with my life. And He has a plan for our lives. And in our humanity and in our selfishness, we also have dreams and we also have desires and we also have these things. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but God has a plan. And God's plan is not just about you. God's plan is to use you, bless you, meet your need. But God's plan is God's glory. And Joseph said, I had a dream, man. I had my whole life in front of me to serve the Lord. And you boys sold me. You stripped everything I had. You took my father. You took my family. You took my future. You put me in a pit. You sold me there. I was accused of a rape. I was put in prison. I suffered. And on this side, he said, but God had a plan. But God had a plan. And your evil, God used in my life. So God didn't forget about you, Christian, just because your dream didn't come true. God has a plan for you. And you better believe that God has a plan for you. Amen? Because if you don't believe God has a plan for you, then you'll begin to think that God can't come through for you. The second thing you need to understand when God has a plan for you is that God is always present in His plan. His plan demands His presence. Go, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is being sold to Potiphar here in verse number 1. And the Bible makes a statement here that's precious. It says in verse number 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was," what class? "With Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And so you need to understand, not only does, well, what do I do, Pastor, when my dream didn't come true? It shouldn't have been this way. My life shouldn't be like this. This was my year. Well, God's got a plan. And don't ever allow God, in your mind, for God to be separated in His presence from His plan. The Bible says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's actively involved in His plan. God, Pastor, I don't see God in my life. He's there. How do you know? Because He said He would be there. And so we think, because our life is not developing the way we thought it should, that somehow we've been vacated by God, or that somehow God's not present in what's going on. Pastor, man, I have suffered. How can you tell me God is present in my suffering? My friend, He's present in every area of your life, and He's working out His plan in your life. And so here's Joseph. His dad and his mom and his brethren are supposed to bow down and worship him. How can they bow down and worship when you ripped me out of my house? I'm not even in the home. I'm in this Potiphar's house. How is this ever going to happen? God is working His plan, and God is present with Joseph, and God never left Joseph, and God will never leave you. You need to know something about God. It's found in Genesis chapter 39. You need to pick up in verse number 19. In the rest of chapter 39, Joseph is accused of a rape he did not commit. You ought to read about it. It goes from being just a prisoner in Potiphar's house where he was able to serve. Now he's headed to prison. Verse 19, it says, "It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife," she was a lying person who wanted him sexually and conceived this big plan and got him arrested, "which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that is, his wrath was kindled." Of course it would. Any man, another man touch your wife, your wrath would be kindled. Joseph was innocent. Verse number 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Now here's verse 21. "But the Lord was," what class? "With Joseph." With Joseph. Life ever gone from bad to worse in your mind? Pastor, man, 2015, I had such a hope. And then I ran into one bump, and then I went to another bump, and to another bump, and it just seems like, man, once things started happening, that things started going the wrong direction, and I wasn't doing anything, it was just out of my control, but these doors were opening, these doors were closing, and here we go. Right, right. And so when God has a plan for your life, God is presently involved and active in that plan, but God is also very persistent in His plan. You see, His plan's not just about you. His plan is to accomplish His glory. And so God has the ability to move you in your life, and God is relentless. He is persistent, and He will take you from step to step. Sometimes He'll take you to the left, sometimes to the right, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes it'll be from bad to worse. But God is actively working in your life. And if you don't understand God's persistence, then you will begin to think your life is falling out of control or whatever. When really, truthfully, God's just persistently moving you along in His plan. And that's what Joseph would teach you. Joseph would say, "Now listen, I had a dream when I was 17. It didn't come to fruition till I was 39. I had 22 years where I thought, where's my dream going to, God? But then I realized God has a plan. God is present with me. God is persistent in working out that plan in my life." So has God been persistently working His plan in your life? Leads me to the fourth point, which I think is the most precious point. Go, if you would, to chapter number 41. Chapter 41 is a powerful chapter. Not only does God, you need to understand that God has a plan for your life. Not only do you understand that God's presently involved in that plan, He's persistently working that plan. But in chapter number 41, Joseph is in prison. Now he's in prison here because that woman accused him of rape. And he was innocent, but Potiphar put him in prison. Now, if we would pick up in verse number 9 of chapter 41, I think you'll enjoy this story. Then spake the chief, say his name, his title, butler. Verse number 9, chapter 41. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Well, Pastor, what fault would the butler be talking about? Well, when you come back to chapter number 40, while Joseph is in prison, he runs into two inmates. One is a baker, one is a butler. Both the baker and the butler worked for Pharaoh. Both the baker and the butler did something to anger Pharaoh, so Pharaoh put them both into the prison. While they're in prison one night, both the baker and the butler have a dream. The butler's dream was that he once again was put ministering to Pharaoh and putting the grapes in the cup and so on and so forth. The baker's dream was that birds came and he had this basket of food and the birds came and they were pecking out the food from that. And they couldn't interpret their dream. Well, they run into Joseph while Joseph is in prison, and the butler tells him his dream first, and Joseph gives a favorable interpretation to the butler, and he says, in 3 days, you're going to get out of here, and Pharaoh is going to restore you to your place of service. The baker, hearing the good interpretation of the butler, brings his dream to Joseph, and the baker tells him his dream, and Joseph says, sorry, buddy, but you're going to die. And then 3 days later, the baker is killed and the butler is released. Pick up, if you would, now in verse number 9 of chapter 41. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. He dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that it can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. All right, so Pharaoh has a dream. The dream is found in verse number 17. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as the beginning. So I awoke. I guess you would. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, speaking of corn, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered then, thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians. Stupid to go to the magicians. Amen. But there was none that could declare it to me. All right, so here's Pharaoh's problem. Don't lose me. It's easy. Pharaoh's laying in bed one night. He's got two dreams. He got skinny cows and fat cows. Fat cows come up, skinny cows come up. Skinny cows eat the fat cows, and the skinny cows still look skinny. Don't you wish you could eat a cow and still look skinny? Pharaoh said, I saw seven ears of corn, and they're full and rich, and I see these thin ears of corn, and they're blasted away, and there's these thin ears. And man, the thing was, I just woke up, and I wanted to know, what does that dream mean? And I asked everybody in the kingdom, somebody interpret to me the dream. And nobody could do it. And then all of a sudden, the butler went, I forgot. I forgot about that Hebrew boy in jail. He interpreted my dream. Pharaoh, There's a Hebrew in the prison that can interpret your dream. Go get him. Joseph's time to go. Shave yourself, man. Put some clothes on. You're going to see Pharaoh. And Joseph stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I understand you can interpret dreams. Now what Joseph says to Pharaoh will either bring you great peace in your life, or if you neglect it, it will take you places you never thought you'd go as a Christian. Look at verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of what? Peace. Peace. Pharaoh, I can't help you, but I know this. The peace you're looking for, God can give. Now, why is this important for you? Because when your dream doesn't come true and your gut is twisted to where you're physically sick and your temperament is changed to where you're a beast to be around, and where you have the audacity to think, somehow, God, you didn't come through in my life. I shouldn't be here. I should be down the road. I shouldn't be here. I should be over there. God, you got me here. What are you doing? You're going to need peace. And Joseph had come to a position in that prison where he learned about God's peace. How did he learn it? Come to chapter 40. Look, if you would, we'll pick up here in verse number 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches. It was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth. The clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Now look at verse 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Okay. Now you need to understand Joseph's mindset. Sold, betrayed, sold, falsely accused, thought to be a rapist, in prison with no escape out. 17-year-old boy that had a dream, a promise of God, a vision that he would be exalted, that people, and here he finds himself in this hellhole. And he sees an opportunity. You know, the human mind can see opportunity and the human eye can see opportunity. And when we see opportunity, a lot of times we jump upon it. And so he's got these two men. He knows one man's going to be hanged. He knows one man's going to be released. And so Joseph says, when you get out of here, remember me. Now, the day that that butler got out of there, I guarantee you, Joseph thought the first place this butler is going is to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh about this. And the first thing this butler's going to do is he's going to help get me out of this house. And I'm sure day one, Joseph began to pack himself. Joseph began to get ready. And Joseph was waiting. Nothing happened. Day two, nothing happened. Day three, nothing happened. Day four, nothing happened. I can begin to imagine after day 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Look, if you would, in chapter 41, verse number 1. And it came to pass at the end of, say those words, class, 2 full years. 2 full years. What are you talking about? Look at verse 23 and verse of chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Listen, man, when you get out of here, my life isn't supposed to be here. Man, I had God's plan and God's direction. People are supposed to bow down to me. I shouldn't be here. When you get out, tell him, man, get me out of this house. And 2 years, that butler forgot him. Can you imagine the thoughts that went through Joseph's mind? This is not my life. This isn't my dream. God, what are you doing with me? Somewhere in the midst of those 2 years, Joseph allowed God to bring a peace to his life that only God could give. So maybe you're sitting out there. Your life's not where it should be. You're filled with unrest. Peace isn't in you. Peace comes from God. Amen. And somewhere in that prison, Joseph said, "Okay, God, whatever you want with my life, you're in charge." And God gave him peace without the promise that he would ever come out of that thing. And Joseph now's in front of Pharaoh, and Joseph would tell Pharaoh the same thing he would tell you. God and God alone can give you peace. So when your dream doesn't come true, God has a plan for your life. Don't get ahead of him. God has promised his presence with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't somehow forgot about you. God is persistently working in your life. And God alone can bring you peace. Now, my last point is my best point. Go to chapter 50, if you would please. Chapter 50, Jacob dies. In chapter 50, Joseph's brothers are nervous. And they're nervous because they thought Joseph was just being kind to them while their dad was alive. And as soon as their dad died, Joseph was going to pay him back and kill him. I probably would have done that if I was their brother. Verse 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the," say those three words, "place of God." Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now look at your pastor. Very profound statement. You're going to think, "Pastor, you're getting weak on us." You are not God. You're not God. And Joseph had learned one thing about his life. He learned, "I'm not God." And he learned to trust the providence of God. And Joseph, as a 17-year-old boy, had a dream and a direction that God would give him. And he had a nightmare of a life. And many times Joseph could say, "God, my dream's not coming true." But God had a plan. God had a presence and a persistence. And God brought about a peace. And Joseph gets to the end of his story and he says, "I'm not God. Pastor, if I was God, my life shouldn't be this way. You're not God. Pastor, I should not have suffered like this. You're not God. Pastor, I should have had this. You're not God." Okay? Would you agree with that by saying amen? Amen. You're not God. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. "But as for you, ye thought," what's that word? "Evil against me. But God meant it unto good." Now listen, if you love the Lord and you're saved, you're God's child. And the Bible says, all things work together for good. Pastor, if God was good, God would have given me my dream now. No, God has a plan. God has a timetable. God has an understanding. Pastor, if God was good, I would not have gone through this evil. No, God can take the evil in your life and God can use it for good. See, God is working in your life for good. God is working in your life to accomplish a purpose. Look, if you would, at verse number 20 at the end. but meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to, what class? Save much people alive. You see, why did God exalt Joseph? It wasn't for Joseph. It was for you. Do you understand that if the Jewish nation would have died in that famine, there would be no Jesus and we would be in hell? And so God used Joseph. God exalted Joseph to protect the Jewish nation during that famine. It wasn't about Joseph. It was about saving people. Your life is not about you when you know the Lord. Your life is about God using your life for His plan. And God will bless you. He will meet your need. He will enrich you. He will keep you. But understand, life is bigger than us. But we think because we didn't get our little dream or we went through some difficulty that we become so selfish. But God exalted Joseph so God could use Joseph. And God is working a plan in your life so God can use you. You can trust God's plan. If you don't, and you do your own plan, you'll regret the day you did that. So what do? When your dream doesn't come true, you know that God's got a plan for you. He didn't leave you. He's working it out. He'll give you peace. Trust His providence. Our God is good. Shall we pray?